What is up? It's The Rant. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Thursday, November 5th, and what a mess for the San Francisco 49ers. Oh, you thought I might have gone a different direction there. No, I did not. For the 49ers, though, it's a complete mess for tonight. Trying to record this a little bit earlier today, so hopefully you're listening to this before the game, but man, I mean, the 49ers, if it is an injury now, it's COVID. The 49ers will be without George Kittle due to injury. We'll be without Jimmy Garoppolo due to injury. Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, all due to injury. And now, due to COVID, they will be without Kendrick Bourne. They will be without Brandon Ayuk. And if there was any hope for Deebo Samuel getting back on the field, they're going to be without him as well. Not to mention Trent Williams, their left tackle. Yikes. Yikes. Somebody did hit me up on Twitter saying, hey, who's the wide receiver to pick up? It's nobody. I don't really like, I can't feel confident using Trent Taylor. We may see Kevin White, so get excited there, but nothing to be excited about on that one at all. So I figured I'd update that at the top of the show. Of course, we're going to talk wide receiver, cornerback on the show, as you see with the title. Before I get into that, let me tell you about our presenting sponsor, Monkey Knife Fight. Love me some Monkey Knife Fight. Love me some daily fantasy sports. Do you like to play daily fantasy sports? Well, you need to check out MonkeyKnifeFight.com. MonkeyKnifeFight.com is the fastest growing daily fantasy site in the world because, well, it's different. MonkeyKnifeFight.com is different than the other daily fantasy sites. That's because on MonkeyKnifeFight.com, there are no salary caps. You don't have to play against the Sharks. That means anyone has a chance of winning. Even you, even me, even like my wife, anybody. My daughter, but she's not old enough, so anybody except her. MonkeyKnifeFight.com has tons of fun daily contests in all the sports you love. Baseball, basketball, hockey, golf, UFC, NASCAR, WNBA, esports, and football. Monkey Knife Fight has it all. And you know what else? MonkeyKnifeFight.com has a free $5 game for you just for signing up. And if you use the promo code RANT, you'll have your first deposit matched instantly up to $50. That's a good deal right there. With a name like MonkeyKnifeFight.com, you can be pretty certain you know what you're getting into when you sign up to play. Monkeys and knives and fights and sports. Sign up and play today at MonkeyKnifeFight.com. State and age restrictions apply. See site for full terms and restrictions. And that is a great way to help the pod out right there if you sign up using the promo code RANT. Really great way. And I would really appreciate it if you did. It's fun. It's like player props almost. It's really cool. Anyway, let's dive into the matchups tonight. I'm not going to talk really about the San Francisco side, but really quickly, if you are listening to this before the game, then if you're not, by the way, just fast forward about 30 seconds, but here it is really quickly. I would ordinarily downgrade a lot of receivers if they were going to face Jason Verrett. I can't downgrade Davante Adams. It's more of a neutral matchup for him, but he's been so phenomenal and the target volume is there that even though Jason Verrett is holding opposing receivers in check, only 11 catches in six games this season, doesn't matter. I do think there's a chance that he does travel with Davante Adams, but doesn't matter. I am all about Davante Adams, as we all should be, and you just never overthink it in season-long leagues. So there you go. Let's move on, though. Denver and Atlanta. Calvin Ridley doesn't look like he's going to play in this one, so be very careful there. Have backup plans in place. I'm looking at practice reports, and I technically don't have a Thursday report yet for Atlanta, but he did not practice on Wednesday. I'm not optimistic here for him. So I know a lot of people are going to look at Russell Gage. I'll tell you, though, against Denver, the tough matchup is actually out of the slot. Bryce Callahan's done a nice job this season, 8.5 yards per catch out of the slot, so he's keeping everything in front of him. Gage could see some decent volume here, but I wouldn't get too carried away. Julio is going to be just fine in this one, especially if there's no Calvin Ridley. You'll see ample target volume. And what I really like, too, is Julio's running 50% of his routes this season on the left. So he's moving around the formation, but that's a lot of routes on one side. So we know that he's going to see Michael Ojemudia on the left. And I like that matchup for Julio. Posing wideouts are averaging 15 yards per catch in Ojemudia's coverage. He's allowed 12 of 14 targets to be caught over the last three games. So giddy up, Julio. Actually, really love Jerry Jeudy in this one as well. Really encouraged by the numbers from last week. He led all receivers in air yards. And the big difference was he shifted to the outside. Now, Tim Patrick, he was limited yesterday, still dealing with the hammy, so there's a chance he doesn't play. If you're on the outside against A.J. Terrell and Bleedy Ray Wilson, give me some of that. Terrell is allowing a 78% catch rate this season. Bleedy Ray Wilson on his career allowing 15.9 yards per catch. That's over the course of his entire career. And he's been around for a little while, so I like that. I'm not going as far as KJ Hamler or Deshaun Hamilton. I know some people in DFS circles are going to look at those guys because of the price point, because of the matchup. Here's the thing. It's more of a neutral matchup for me because the skill of the receiver is also factored into my matchup evaluation, and neither one of these guys have really done enough where I'm like, oh yeah, they're just going to smash in this matchup. So just be a little careful there. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if one of them found the end zone, but I'm not going to chase last week's touchdowns. Seattle and Buffalo, no downgrades in this one. Upgrade for Stephon Diggs. Obviously, it's against Seattle, but it's the target volume, and you know he's running 38% of his routes on the right, so that means he'll see Quentin Dunbar over there. Close to, I mean, it's not half of his routes, but you're getting up there once you're up at 38%. He's going to move around the formation, but Dunbar allowing a touchdown in each of the last 2 weeks, and receivers have caught 11 balls in his coverage over that span. Cole Beasley, I like this matchup as well, especially if DJ Reed stays in the slot. Reed, not a good debut last week. 6 catches for 105 yards in his coverage. Tyler Lockett's also in a nice spot here out of the slot against Teron Johnson. That's what you want to pick on against Buffalo. 81% catch rate. So, yeah, Tyler Lockett. But I also, so here's the thing. I think DK could be shadowed by Trey White. Trey White's awesome. He's allowing 1.7 catches per game this year. But it doesn't matter for DK Metcalf. So it's not actually a downgrade. You know, I think sometimes, and this was my mistake in the past, and I know other people will do this, you know, when they evaluate these matchups, they'll say, oh, downgrade DK Metcalf. And it's like, yeah, no, I don't think we can do that. I think we're just overlooking the data here, and I would be doing you a disservice if I said that. It's a neutral matchup because he's playing so good that even against a very good corner like Trey White, you can't really bump him down dramatically. So there you go. We learn. Chicago, Tennessee, downgrades abound in this one. Really isn't much. No upgrades, really. Anthony Miller, Darnell Mooney, and Miller was on the injury report yesterday. They were both good last week, but I kind of dig what the Titans have done at corner. So they moved on from Jonathan Joseph. He was the weak link. They traded for Desmond King. I've always been a Desmond King fan. He's not like a rock star or anything, but he does his job, you know, and he's a good slot corner. So I've always liked how he plays the game. So I think that was a wise move. Now we'll see if they actually activated Dory Jackson from injured reserve. As of right now, I'm not seeing that he was activated. But remember, you can activate them. They can get onto the field really quickly. So I wouldn't worry there. Even if he isn't on the field this week, though, I'm not interested in Miller or Darnell Mooney. This one feels like this is going to be like a, you know, one of those games where the clock just runs really quickly, like, you know, flies along, very little passing attempts, right, where the clock stops on incompletes and all that, and all of a sudden you're looking, it's like 2 Eastern and they're already at halftime. You're like, where the hell did that first half go? Well, fastest first half in world history right there from the Bears and Titans. That's the way at least it feels to me. Anyway, don't sleep on that Bears secondary. Jalen Johnson is a stud. 9 PBUs. That's tied for the league lead in pass breakups. Kyle Fuller is playing good football as well. 51% catch rate in his coverage. So that's actually not that great for A.J. Brown or Corey Davis. I like Brown still as that fringe wide receiver 1 in season long. I like Davis as a wide receiver 3. But, you know, when you have a bad matchup and you have a low volume passing game, it kind of puts a damper on everything. So just not DFS options this week for me. You know, definitely not heavy exposure DFS options if you're playing in, you know, multi-entry, mass-entry tournaments. Anyway, for Allen Robinson, I don't think the secondary is good enough to really put a damper on him. And here's what I expect. I expect Malcolm Butler to shadow. He shadowed last week on AJ Green. He shadowed the week before on Chase Claypool. And, you know, bigger bodied wide receiver. Okay, Allen Robinson, check. So he's probably going to shadow him. Malcolm Butler is not a lockdown corner. All right. He's actually seen 54 targets thrown into his coverage this season. Like, you don't hit those numbers even on a season, maybe, if you're like a lockdown corner, because quarterbacks are just going to avoid you. So they're going after him. So I'm not really worried about Robinson. It's a neutral matchup for me. He's a fringe wide receiver 1 in season long. Baltimore Indy downgrades abound in this one as well. Marquise Brown gets a double downgrade because he's not seeing the target volume I'd hope to see, especially last week. And he's also facing a pretty good defense here in Indy. Xavier Rhodes has been awesome this year. Awesome. 43% catch rate. Really revitalized his career. On the other side, T.Y. Hilton banged up. I don't think he plays, so you're talking Zach Pascal, Michael Pittman Jr. will be out there. Not much appeal. Not much appeal. And I think they're just going to be overmatched by that Ravens secondary. Moving on to Carolina and Kansas City. No upgrades, no downgrades. It's all neutral for me. Tyreek Hill, this is another great example of skill level sort of trumping what for some receivers would be a bad matchup. Because honestly, the Panthers secondary is not that bad. Especially when Rasul Douglas is out there. Douglas is allowing a 60% catch rate, 8.8 yards per catch. That's a low number right there. Cornell Elder, which is fun to say, 6.9. Nice yards per catch there out of the slot. So, yeah, it's not a great matchup, but it's, you know, it's Tyreek Hill. So it's a neutral matchup. And it is that passing game, which can be explosive even in bad matchups, as we saw against Baltimore. So neutral for Mecole Hardman, neutral for DeMarcus Robinson, neutral for Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore as well. I don't want to sleep on the Kansas City secondary. Bashaud Breeland has been very good since coming back. Four games played now, 50% catch rate, 7.3 yards per catch. Now, Charvarius Ward can give up some chunk plays, but he's also just 59% catch rate. So reasonably stingy there. I think you look at this, if you're going to go in for DFS purposes, because for season long, yeah, you're starting Ty Freak as a wide receiver one, you're starting Anderson and Moore as wide receiver twos, you might slide Mecole Hardman in as a wide receiver three. But in DFS, like if you go a Mahomes-Tyreek stack, which is pretty expensive, so maybe you go a Mahomes-Mecole Hardman stack, then I would double down and really try and get in on the other side of this with Robbie Anderson or with DJ Moore. I would probably, that's tough. Because they both have big play upside. They both do. And maybe it helps to build lineups with all of them, you know, sort of mix and match the combinations and see which build looks best to you or multiple builds look best to you. Because I think there is some appeal there, especially if you get that like sort of chunk play against Charvarius Ward. Detroit, Minnesota, no matchup downgrades here. But the matchup upgrade comes with a caveat for the Lions. Matthew Stafford is on the COVID-19 list, but he didn't test positive. He was in close contact with somebody who tested positive, so and not related to the team. So he has to test negative right up until the game, essentially, in order to play. Otherwise, it's Chase Daniels, so then we can't really... All bets are off at that point. But I do think Marvin Jones is the, you know, is a beneficiary here. You look at the potential starting trio for the Vikings, Chris Boyd, Jeff Gladney, Cam Dantzler. Dantzler is banged up, so he may not play. But if you just look at those guys, it's not going to get better from here. Let's just put it that way. If Dantzler doesn't play, it only gets worse for the Vikings secondary. But they've allowed 64 catches on 87 targets. That's a 73% catch rate. That's high. So giddy up, Marvin Jones. I like Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson in this one. So for the Lions, you have Amani Ruwarie and Jeff Okuda on the outside, and both are prone to give up big plays. Ruwarie allowing 15 yards per catch, Okuda at 14.6. So they're giving up those big plays, and that's really where you cash in with the Vikings. You know, you're not really looking for high volume necessarily. You're looking for like Justin Jefferson 50-yard touchdown, Adam Thielen. You know, that's what we're looking for. So there you go. Sneaky game, actually. Kind of a sneaky game. Maybe flying under the radar a little bit. Giants, Washington football team, they are not flying under the radar with this one, but neutral matchups really in this one. Terry McLaurin gets a neutral matchup. 7 for 74 when he faced him in week 6. Did not get shadowed by James Bradbury in that one, but could get shadowed by him here. Regardless, why I like it is he had 12 targets. 12 targets is appealing to me. On the other side, Slayton and Shepard. I'll tell you, Kendall Fuller. I mean, hey, the Fullers are playing good this year. Kendall Fuller's been playing very good football. He got on the field in week 3. Since then, he's allowed 6 catches on 17 targets. That's pretty good. So that doesn't help the cause for Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard. But when they're moving around, especially on the outside, They're also going to see Ronald Darby, who's allowing 17 yards per catch. So I think this is like a neutral, you know, maybe you get a big play from Slayton. I will tell you this. So unrelated to the wide receiver cornerbacks, I'm in two quarterback leagues. Both my home leagues now have went to two quarterback. And I think that's sort of the way to go. Because one quarterback leagues are just kind of, it's silly how you could literally not draft a quarterback and basically work the wire every week and still be just fine. So both leagues sort of wised up to that. They're both 10-teamers. I prefer 10-teamers for two quarterback as opposed to 12-teamers. 12-teamers is really tricky, and I feel like, you know, quarterback dries up, and then, you know, really, 10-teamer allows every team to own three starters as opposed to you don't have that option in a 12-teamer. Whatever. It's up to you. That's why Superflex is probably better, which actually technically these are both Superflex leagues, but better for 12-team leagues instead of just straight two quarterback. But anyway, the point of the story is Daniel Jones got dropped in both of these leagues this week, and I scooped him up as my third quarterback. And in the one league, I do have Matty Stafford, so it was kind of necessary. But here's the deal. He actually hasn't looked that bad recently, and like, I don't need him to look like, you know, the next coming of Fran Tarkenton to be anything good for us here. I need him to throw a couple touchdowns. I need him to rush for 30, 40 yards. And he's a quarterback too. You know, he's not a debacle where he once was. So just throwing that out there. Anyway, moving on to Houston and Jacksonville. Another double downgrade for DJ Chark. Jake Luton under center is a downgrade. The matchup is a downgrade. He's going to get shadowed by Bradley Roby. He got shadowed by him only a few weeks ago back in week five. In that contest, Roby was on him 83% of the time. Three catches for 16 yards for DJ Chark. I like this matchup as an upgrade for Will Fuller. Now, he will see some Sidney Jones, who's been playing pretty good. Eagles fans have to love that. I've just mentioned Rasul Douglas playing good football and Sidney Jones playing good football. But regardless, Fuller's going to see plenty of C.J. Henderson and Trey Herndon because Fuller moves all around the formation. Henderson got picked on when we last saw Jacksonville. He gave up six catches on nine targets, nice, for 71 yards to the Chargers. So got picked on there. And then Herndon, he was the one who gave up the Jalen Guyton 70-yard score in that game. So giddy up Brandon Cooks as well. Vegas and the aforementioned Chargers, I can't get excited about the Vegas receivers. I like this secondary that the Chargers have. Casey Hayward he's allowing a 46% catch rate. Even without Desmond King, I think they're just fine. Fading Henry Ruggs. I'm never fading Keenan Allen. The volume, he's almost like a double upgrade here because of the volume and then the matchup. Trayvon Mullen, Nevin Lawson, LaMarcus Joyner allowing a combined 70% catch rate on the season. Allen's moving all around the formation, so he'll see all of them, but I especially like when either he or Mike Williams goes up against Trayvon Mullen. He's allowed a touchdown in two of his last three games, and over that span, 14 catches on 17 targets. Giddy up. Double downgrade for the Cowboys receivers, Cooper, Lamb, Gallup. Not a good matchup against the Steelers, and not ideal a quarterback double downgrade. Only one you can use in season long is Cooper, and I even feel reluctant there as a wide receiver three, but he is. I have the trio of Claypool, Smith-Schuster, and Johnson all as wide receiver twos. I love the matchup. I love Trayvon Diggs, I think, is going to be a standout in the league. I really do, after what I've seen. But I don't think that's ever going to happen for Anthony Brown, so I'm going to go after Anthony Brown here. Posing wideouts have caught 14 of 19 targets against Brown this season. And, well, that really benefits Claypool and Johnson, but Johnson just can't stay healthy, so I'm giving Claypool the edge here. Miami, Arizona, no downgrades, which is, some people may see this and they say, well, what about Parker? Isn't he going to get shadowed by Patrick Peterson? Well, probably not. Based on what the Cardinals have done this season, they really only used him to shadow DK Metcalf, and I think they may have learned their lesson. So the thing about this then is if you're not being shadowed by Peterson, he plays his side. That means that, well, 43% of the time, based on his stats this season, Devontae Parker will be lined up against Drake Kirkpatrick. Drake Kirkpatrick gave up 13 receptions last week in one freaking game. Like, he was the Tyler Lockett. That was the reason why that happened. So, yeah, I don't mind this for Parker. I think it's neutral for Hopkins, even if he gets shadowed by Xavien Howard. Xavien Howard's really good, but last week he showed some deficiencies, seven catches on 10 targets for 84 yards and a score. On the other side for Christian Kirk, Byron Jones, if Howard does shadow Hopkins, Byron Jones allowing a 56% catch rate, but he also kind of got a little exposed last week. 5 catches on 7 targets last week. New Orleans, Tampa Bay. New Orleans, we're still waiting if Michael Thomas is going to play or not. Trending towards it, but I wouldn't count him in for sure. If he does play, he's going to get shadowed by Carlton Davis. That's what happened in week one. Davis held him in check. 2 catches for 9 yards in week one. So it's a tough matchup for Thomas. Plus, coming back from injury, a little shaky for sure. Manny Sanders on the other side, if Thomas does get shadowed, wow. Jamel Dean is having an awesome season. He is holding opposing receivers to 9.6 yards per catch, a 56% catch rate on the year. He is having a breakout year. On the other side, Marshawn Lattimore, Janoris Jenkins, they're kind of going in the opposite direction from the Bucs secondary. They're not having a good year. Marshawn Lattimore allowing 4 receiving scores in his coverage this season. Jenkins allowed a receiving score to Darnell Mooney last week. So I like Mike Evans here. He's just fine as a wide receiver too. We'll see if Godwin can come back. Bruce Arians said that, I mean, he was at practice in the walkthrough yesterday, but Arians said he will see if Godwin can catch the football on Friday. So tomorrow, if he can catch the football in practice, he could play. Antonio Brown is not going to play a full complement of snaps, so he's a risky season-long play. But hey, DFS, why not roll the dice, baby? All right, and that's if you're including the Sunday night contest in your DFS slates. Anyway, New England and the Jets, yeah, nothing to get excited about here for the Jets. Denzel Mims will be shadowed by Gilmore if he plays. If not, J.C. Jackson. Neither one's appealing. So nothing out of the Jets. The only upgrade I have is Jacoby Myers. He had 10 targets last week. He's going to face Pierre Desir a good chunk of the game. I mean, he's allowing a 73% catch rate, 5 receiving scores on the season. Not a bad matchup right there for Jacoby Myers. So maybe something to think about for Monday night. All right, that's it. Those are the matchups there for this week. We have more matchups, though, coming on the podcast tomorrow. I'll break down the rest of the matchups across all the remaining games on this week's slate. So enjoy Thursday Night Football. Of course, head on over to FTNFantasy.com, FTNDaily.com, FTNBets.com. Our NFL All-Access package is now on sale, too. If you want to get in, the beauty here, even if you're not using the season-long stuff that much, if, like, say you're out of it, you can use it for DFS, you can use it for betting, and that includes the playoffs. Like, that's the best time of year for DFS and betting. So anyway, get in over there. Just head by one of those sites. If you're not already registered at the sites, you'll see a little pop-up that'll show you the deal, and you can use the promo code RATPACK, that is RATPACK, for an extra 10% off of that deal. Go check it out. Keep reviewing the podcast. The celebration is coming. I swear we're almost there. But if you haven't reviewed it already, then it's really simple. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app if you have an iPhone, or on the web. If you have an iPhone, though, open up the app, go to My Podcast, and then scroll down to the bottom and click the stars. And you're done. You reviewed the pod. You can do it on the web as well. It's super easy, and I appreciate all the reviews. We're making a push now for 2K. We're at 1.1K. Making a push for 2. We got a ways to go. But we'll get there with your help. I appreciate your help. I see you, Rat Pack. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. Use the promo code Rat Pack. That way I know you're a listener of this freaking podcast. I appreciate you. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here.